2. Ralph and Bill Samuels sat in Ralph's office with their ties yanked down and their collars loosened. The TV lights outside had gone off 10 minutes before. All 4 buttons on Ralph's desk phone were lit up, but Sandy McGill was handling the incoming and would until Jerry Malden arrived at 11. For the time being, her job was simple, if repetitive. The Flint City Police Department has no comment at this time. The investigation is ongoing. Meanwhile, Ralph had been working his own phone. Now he put it back in his coat pocket. Yoon Sablo and his wife went upstate to see his in-laws. He says he put it off twice already, and this time he had no choice unless he wanted to spend a week on the couch, which he says is very uncomfortable. He'll be back tomorrow, and of course he'll be at the arraignment.
"We'll send someone else to the Sheraton, then," Samuel said. "Too bad Jack Hoskins is on vacation."
"No, it isn't," Ralph said, and that made Samuels laugh.
"Okay, you got me there. Our Jackie boy might not be the worst detective in the state, but I admit he's right up there. You know every detective on the Cap City 4. Start calling until you get a live one."
Ralph shook his head. "It should be Sablo. He knows the case, and he's our liaison with the state police. This is no time to risk pissing them off, considering the way things went tonight, which was not quite as we expected." This was the understatement of the year, if not the century. Terry's complete surprise and seeming lack of guilt had shaken Ralph even more than the impossible alibi. Was it possible that the monster inside him had not only killed the boy, but erased all memory of what he had done? And then, what? Filled in the blank with a detailed false history of a teacher's conference in Cap City?
"If you don't send someone ASAP, that guy Gold uses..."
"Alec Pelley."
"Yeah, him. He'll beat us to the hotel security footage, if they still have it, that is."
"They will. They keep everything for 30 days.
"You know that for a fact?"
"Yes, but Pelley doesn't have a warrant."
"Come on, do you think he'll need one?"
In truth, Ralph did not. Alec Pelley had been a detective with the SP for over 20 years. He would have made a great many contacts during that time, and working for a successful criminal lawyer like Howard Gold, he would be sure to keep them current.
"Your idea to arrest him in public is now looking like a bad call," Samuel said.
Ralph gave him a hard look. "It was one you went along with."
"Not very enthusiastically," Samuel said. "Let's have the truth, since everyone else has gone home and it's just us girls. With you, it was close to home."
"Damn straight," Ralph said. "It still is. And since it's just us girls, let me remind you that you did a little more than just go along. You've got an election coming up in the fall, and a dramatic high-profile arrest wouldn't exactly hurt your chances."
"That never entered my mind," Samuel said.
"Fine. It never entered your mind. You just went with the flow. But if you think arresting him at the ballpark was just about my son, you need to take another look at those crime scene pictures and think about Felicity Ackerman's autopsy addendum. Guys like this never stop at one."
Color began to mount in Samuel's cheeks. "You think I haven't? Christ, Ralph, I was the one who called him a fucking cannibal. On the record."
Ralph slid a palm up his cheek. It rasped. Arguing over who said what and who did what is pointless. The thing to remember is it doesn't matter who gets to the security footage first. If it's Pelley, he can't just put it under his arm and carry it away, can he? Nor can he erase it.
"That's true," Samuel said. "And it's not apt to be conclusive in any case. We may see a man in some of the footage who looks like Maitland."
"Right. But proving it's him, based on a few glimpses, would be a different kettle of fish. Especially when stacked up against our eyewits and the fingerprints." Ralph stood and opened the door.
"Maybe the footage isn't the most important thing. I need to make a phone call. Should have made it already."
Samuels followed him into the reception area. Sandy McGill was on the telephone.
Ralph approached her and made a throat-cutting gesture. She hung up and looked at him expectantly. "Everett Roundhill," he said, "chairman of the high school English department. Track him down and get him on the phone."
"Tracking him down won't be a problem, since I've already got his number," Sandy said. He's called twice already asking to speak to the lead investigator, and I basically told him to get in line.
She picked up a sheaf of "While You Were Out" notes and waved them at him.
I was going to put these on your desk for tomorrow. I know it's Sunday, but I've been telling people I'm pretty sure you'll be in.
Speaking very slowly and looking at the floor instead of at the man beside him, Bill Samuels said,
"Roundhill called. Twice. I don't like that. I don't like it at all."